we come to the last session and the last section of So this is the whole of भक्ति होगा टू प्रज्ञान योगा अमृत भक्ति होगा सो यू थिंक दैट क्रूशियल वर्ड्स ऑफ ब्रह्म भूत प्रसन्न आत्मा सो नाउ कृष्ण इज सेइंग दैट बाय coming to the Brahman platform and takes my consideration of him. And he goes on and describes something which is a little interesting. It will confuse you also. The next verse. Bhakta mama vijanati rāvānya śāsi tattvata tato hām tattvato vyātva viṣate sadanantaram. By devotion I can be known, that is the thing which is being taught throughout the Gita. And the confusing part is that after knowing him, Tattvabodhyatva Vishyate, Vishyate enters Tadanantaram. Thereafter he enters. So now, this is marks the end of the Jnana section. And Chakravarti Pada's the elaborate analysis, we got a question of Niti over here. Good idea. So he explains that there are four types of jnanis. So, so who are these four types of jnanis? First jnani is who practices, who does only jnana and does not practice bhakti. Such a person directly falls back to the material world. He may rise to Tathagata, but beyond that he cannot go much. He stays in the material world and falls back to the gross material world. The second is, one who practices bhakti, those guys who practice bhakti, but they operate the Lord's thoughts. But these are mayavadis. So, Avjanati Mahamudha, Moha Shyamodhama, 9.11 describes these jnanis. Then the third type of jnanis are, those who practice bhakti to attain Kaiyuchi. They attain the Brahma Jyoti. They are the Brahmavadis. And the last most exalted of the Yamindra, they practice bhakti and they get the association of devotees. And by the devotee association, they attain prema. So the example of this is Shukadeva Goswami and the Kumaras. First one is they only do jnana and they don't have bhakti as part of the samana. Then they cannot jnana and can lead us only to goodness. And they get some faint realization of Brahman, but they cannot go beyond much goodness and they fall back in the material world. So first two, he says, they are reproachable, they are condemnable. And then other two, they are transcendental. So they are in their own way glorious. But the devotee is far, far more glorious than the jnani who must be to come. Correct. Third, generally in devotional literature don't give an example of somebody who goes to Brahman, the Brahma Jyoti. The idea is that is not a desirable goal for the devotees. Yeah.
Thank you.
Jnani, which books do Jnani bring? Jnani is primarily locations. That is their main source of intellectual speculation. So, the Upanishads are themselves paradoxical. Tadayayati, tadnayayati, taddure, tadvantike. So, because they are paradoxical, the Jnani can extract from it whatever conclusion they want. So, we know the three still in the Vedic spiritual advancement, the Vedic culture, karma kanda, jnana kanda and upasana kanda. So they practice karma kanda, they come to karma yoga, and after that they go to jnana kanda, they study the Upanishads. And they study the Upanishads, then they come to either impersonalist conclusion or they can come to personalist conclusion. And the jnani, their primary sadhana is speculating based on the Upanishads. And of course, it is the asakta buddhi sarvatra, Sitatma Vigata Suha, you are low waste of the sadhana, they are detached, the conquered desires. So in one sense they are far higher than the materialists. The whole world is full of conclusions, isn't it? Thousands and millions of books are being written. So everybody is coming to some conclusion, isn't it? Speculation, yeah. That's why it says clearly that only if they get the association of devotees, then they will come, they will again pray. Speculation by itself cannot lead to the absolute truth. It can lead to Brahman. But then they, without bhakti, they cannot even experience and reside in Brahman. They fall back. The question is, do Mayavadis really perform bhakti? Now the word bhakti can have many different meanings. You know, we can say that even we are not practicing bhakti. So, if we have purity of purpose, we may not have purity right now, but if we have purity of purpose, we aspire to pure devotion purpose, then we are called as potential devotees. But the Mayavadis, they are not aspiring for purity of purpose, they are aspiring for purity of merging. And because they are aspiring for something which is philosophically wrong and practically impossible, and you cannot dissolve all identity. Therefore, they get defeated in their purpose. And that is indicated in 9.12, Moghasya Mohakarvana, Moghajana Vichetra. Rakshati Masala Vichetra, Prakriti Mahana Vichetra. Krishna is very quite clear over there. There is the futility of their endeavors. Yes, for example. This question is 18.1. It is saying, I want to understand the purpose of initiation.
Sanyasis iti mahabaho tattvam icchami veditum. Tattva literally means truth. Prabhupada translates that as purpose. Okay, but the truth of ultimately anything is its purpose. So now there is no one verse answer to it. But Krishna explains basically that the goal is purification. And we should not hear Vyagyadana Tapakarma, Vyagyadana Karma, because Vyagyadana Tapakarma, because they purify. Even the great fruits. So, Krishna basically, but there is no one verse which gives the answer to that. But this you can say correlates with that, in the sense that perfection of karma yoga, initially is to just renounce the fruits, but later on to offer the fruits to Krishna. And that is what is being done over here.
Yeah, that is a little longer. That is a little longer. So here is
basically the first two, according to Chakravarti,
don't go out of the gravity of material existence itself, the same material existence. But they, the others may go out, but it's not a stable state, Rupa repeated experience, is that course. But they are considered higher because at least they are not offending the law. Yeah, it's purely out of the law of mind. Bhagavatam also describes that if they are in Brahma Sanidhya, the pure devotees are going through the Brahma Jyoti to the spiritual world. The pure devotees get peace, they will take them along also. You have to extra compassion. They can't tell the sky is speaking in the material world, they want to teach in the Brahma Jyoti. So here Chitkana. Chitkana means the particle of consciousness. Consciousness is there, awareness is there of course. See, the soul itself has a potentiality. Now also it is not that I will see, it is the soul that is seeing. So that the potential is even in that chitkan, in that particle of consciousness that is there.
Both Vishnu
are there and body. No, they had heard about the Lord from their father and they did not exactly know how it was. They heard the wonderful person. They wanted to go and see him. They saw him, they were completely attracted to him. Shri Satish Kumar. That's how they became devotees.
What is the
way of
Vishnu?
What is the meaning of the definition of the way of Vishnu? So that basically means integral part and parcel of the Lord who descended to this world. So, actually, in one sense, you can say that let's say the rays of the sun come from the sun to the earth. So like that, Siddhanta Thakur was a ray who came from the spiritual world, from Vishnu down to this world. That means the ray of Vishnu. Yeah, we can. No, like that you can call Acharya Prabhupada also. Because even they are at the feet of Prabhu, and there are many Prabhus at their feet also. But there are specific titles given to certain personalities. So, this is now, here Krishna completes the Jnana section by telling how the Jnani is, depending on their consciousness, they can attain Brahman or they can attain Bhagavan. And then he continues on to describe now the subsequent verses. And very interesting. Because now Krishna starts from right at the bottom level. So till now he has described how, so this sequence started from verse 40. Where one starts from Nishkam Karma Yoga, comes to Jnana Yoga, comes to Brahman, and goes to your Brahman to Bhagavan. But Krishna says, you don't, my dear devotee, you don't have to follow all this. Arjuna says, okay, Krishna, do you want me to follow this? Is this the level that you want me to follow, go through this whole process? Because all of Krishna said, don't renounce the world. So what do you want me to do? So then Krishna starts describing for the direction of the sixth onwards. Sarva karmanya pitada yurvano madhava kāpada pāśraya madhukāda adhava abnomi ashatam padam avyayam. So now, this sarva karmani prasada, Chakravarti Maharaj said, that means the devotee can even be at the level of kamya karma. Whatever work he is doing, he's not a renunciate, he's a householder, you know, he's taking care of children, he has his own family, and he's living a worldly life. But from that level also, sarva karmani prasada, whatever work he's doing, kurvano madhyapashya, if he takes shelter of me. From this level, what will happen? शाश्वतम पदम हो गए अरे रंगम हो गए प्रैक्टिस निष्काम कर्म योगा प्रैक्टिस ज्ञान ज्ञान by Vishwanathji, the teenager of the decision. Then, Krishna explained a little bit more. What does he mean by Madhya Pashaya? How should one take shelter of him so that he can attain eternal destination? He elaborates the next verse. Chetasa sarva-dharmani sanyasya-mattara buddhi-yoga-pashita chitta-sata-sambhava. So he's saying, all activities be conscious of me, make me the goal of your life, and renounce the fruits of your renounce all your work to me. So buddhi yoga upashitya. So buddhi yoga, where did this word come? You must see. Rama buddhi yoga come in a mount of Ramji. So this was described how even a, so Chakravarti Maharaj describes a level between a level above Sakam Bhakti and below Ananya Bhakti. So Sakam Bhakti is where a devotee has material desires. And Ananya Bhakti is one is entirely pure, Kevala Bhakti. This describes the level between these two. Ananya Bhakti is here, Sakam Bhakti is here. So the devotee is not cultivating material desires, but he is not free from material desires. He is not doing bhakti so that he can fulfill more and more material desires. But still, what had past material desires had, yes, they are not yet entirely gone. So, imagine it is like a Kadhara speech. Describes. So, now, Machitta Satatam Bhava. So, now, after describing, you always be conscious of me. Krishna now gives the option to Arjuna. Either you do this, or if you don't do this, what will happen? Machitta Sarvadurgani Satatatarishati So you will be lost, you see. So, we are being too conscious, if you are much the heart, then people will become conscious of me. And Sarva Durgani, yes, there will be a lot of obstacles, but by my mercy, tarishyati. It is not even that you cross over the obstacles. Just pass over it, you swim over it, float over it. Tarishyati. Tarishyati is similar to the word Maya Neta Tarandite. Just go beyond it. And Asache, now when you don't do this, why do you think you know better? You know how to solve your problem. So Mahankara Anushoshati will Dhinamushati. Now in the next two verses, Krishna will describe what he means by renunciation. How will you be lost? So he will describe how by practicing bhakti you attain the supreme destination. If you don't practice bhakti, what will happen? He will describe in the next two verses. Kadahankara ashritya nurotsyaiti manyate vidyai shagavatalaste prakritiswami yokshati. Yes. It's Vyavasaya. Vyavasaya is for Vyavasaya coming? Vyavasaya Atika Buddhi. One-pointed. So you have one-pointedness in this directed. Your determination in this directed. Now what will happen? Prakriti Swam Niyokshiti. Niyokshiti. Material nature will engage you. Why? So he says that if you don't fight now, when you ask for arms and if you don't give arms, you take out your weapons. And you raise your weapon against innocent people. Now you are refusing to raise your weapons against those who are culpable people. But at that time, impelled by your pressure, you raise your weapons against innocent people. स्वभावजेन कौन्तेय निबद्धवशेन कर्मणा कर्तुं नेच्छति यन्मोहा करिष्यत्यवशोकिता. We'll act on the same. Krishna says, you're all nibbadha. We are bound by our karma. And we can't do anything about it. We are bound by our swabhava. We have to act accordingly. And now he'll say that actually my fighting will be moha. He says, no, you're not fighting with moha. Kartum nechati then moha. You are saying that is moha, and eventually you'll have to fight. So he is Chakravarti Pasit. This is these two words to talk about swabhava. Subhavavadi, oh, we are products of our nature, we have to act according to our nature. And the only way to go out of that nature is by Varnashrama. So now here, Chakravarti Pasit is another interesting analysis of the three levels of confidential knowledge in the Gita. So he says 49 to 60 describes confidential knowledge in the sense that gradually on advances, what we discussed. One practices Varnashrama, Nishkama Karma Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, and comes to Brahma and to Bhagavad. And then, now in the next three verses, we give more confidential knowledge. That is of surrender to the Super Soul. And then there is the most confidential knowledge. Don't surrender to the Super Soul, surrender to me only. Become my pure devotee. And 64 to 66. Then, after Krishna has shared his heart with Arjuna, because Arjuna, you please share my heart with the whole world. Preach. Tell you, hear me. And after finishing this, and there is a question by Krishna. What? So Arjuna, if you have a question for Krishna, Arjuna says, yes, I'm ready to pray. You do whatever you do. And then Sandhya expresses ecstasy and he gives his prediction. Voice is very soft. Yeah. Super. We discuss that. We'll do something else. Another way to put it, Guhya Gyan Javad Atma and Guhya Tara Gyan Javad Paramatma, Guhya Tama Gyan Javad Bhagavan. So of course from Atma one can advance further also towards Paramatma and Bhagavan, but that may not happen. So Guhya, Guhya Tara and Guhya Tama. That's how the Bhagavad Gita knowledge is given. Let's come to this, Guhya Tara Gyan. The famous verse which ईश्वर सर्वभूतानां
यंत्र रूढ़ानी माया रूढ़
रिमेंबर योगा रूढ़ एंड हू इज अचीव रिपीटेड ऑन योगा सो यंत्र रूढ़ानी मीन्स दोज आर सिचुएटेड ऑन यंत्र माया सो चक्रवर्ती पाद डिस्क्राइब्स द सोल इज सिचुएटेड इन द बॉडी एंड द बॉडी इज अ मशीन बट इट इज नॉट इट इज मोर लाइक अ डॉल और अ पपेट एंड माया इज pulling the strings of the puppet. And accordingly, svabhava jena kaunte. That's how super soul is directing the vanity through maya. So how is it directing the vanity? Through the machine is made of maya and the machine works according to its own svabhava. And the super soul just simply observes it. Now interesting thing in this Sanskrit, there is no direct reference to the word direct. Directing. Ishvara Sarvabhutana Pradeshe Arjuna Tishtari. So Brahmayan, Brahmayan is mandarin. So the Lord is situated in the heart of all living beings as the being entered the vanity, being seated on the machine given by Maya. So ultimately Maya is controlled by Krishna, that's why Prabhupada is perfectly precise in using the word direct. Otherwise direct has another deeper significance. Now in a movie we have a director. The director makes everyone dance and walk and sing and do everything. But in the movie, the director himself is invisible. So like that, the super soul, it is his will and it is his sanction that is making everything happen in this world. But he is invisible. He cannot be seen by anyone. And that means he is directing the mandarin of the world. So this Ishvara, so what is the connection with the previous verse? Krishna had told the previous verse, actually all of us are controlled by Svabhava, by material nature. Krishna is saying that material nature is being directed by that Ishvara. That's why Krishna doesn't use the word Paramatma over there. He doesn't use the word Ishvara. Because Ishvara means controller. That person who is in the heart is the controller. He is the controller of the soul, he is the controller of material energy also. And Arjuna, if you want to become free from the control of material energy, what is the way? Surrender to the control of material energy. That is the next verse. Tame Vashya. So yeah. So how is the kind of bones we have, kind of society. So Krishna says, yes, if you want to become free from Svabhava, there is one more way. And suppose the whole gradual way of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, he just surrendered to the super soul. तमेव शरणं गच्छ सर्वभावेन भारत सप्रसादार्थां शान्तिं स्थानं प्राप्स्यति शाश्वतम् Arjuna is thinking of peace in this battle. But then for him, if he attains peace, then he will not get the sthanam, the kingdom. If he wants the kingdom, he will lose peace. If he wants peace, he will lose the kingdom. But Krishna is telling, if you surrender to the super soul, you will get param shanti and shashwat sthanam. It's a win-win solution. You can both. You get supreme peace and eternal destination. So now, the word Param Shanti might come here earlier in the 4th chapter. 4.39 Shaddhava Labhate Jnana Nasparasanya Devya Jnana Labhva Param Shanti Achivei Nadevachi. Very quickly he will say that. So now that same Param Shanti Krishna is describing not just by Jnana but by surrender to the super soul. So now still Krishna is referring to himself here as a Kalpa. Some of that super soul. So in general Krishna references to himself as a third person for two reasons. One is if he wants to differentiate between himself and the super soul, which is the case over here. And second is if he wants to not sound proud and out of humility he refers to himself in the third person. Yeah? No, it depends. Even the devotee is a practice hand, you can't it? The devotee also practice yoga. Yes, ஞானியோட சாதனா பிறகு அதுதான் ராஜமீன் சித்த பிறகு here, Srimad 9.34, it's more intense and more personal. There it was, Maam Evaishit Yuktvaivam Atmanam Matparayana. So yes, if you are dedicated this way, you'll come to me. But Maam Evaishit Satyam Te. So, the word Satya according to Amar Kosh means truth, and Satya also means vow or oath. And they Satyam Te, I'm taking a vow here to you, Arjuna. Satyajane Priyosine, because I declare to you, because Satyajane comes in 9.30, but Kaunteya Satyajane. I'm declaring to you. The Satyajane is not just say, declare, proclaim. It's like in the Marathi, it says Dindora Peti, loudly you proclaim, you want to make some announcement. Krishna is saying, I'm announcing to you, proclaiming to you, Satyajane Priyosine. So, two successive verses, Krishna is using the word, first it is, dear, and now you need the word priya. So actually this is the emotional climax of the Bhagavad Gita in terms of Krishna's expression. Krishna is not being so intensely emotional throughout the Gita. He was very profoundly Bhagavani, very intensely affectionate to his devotees. When he says, Tesha Maham Samudharta, Aham Samudharta, I come to you Bhagavad. Ayuva Kshemam Bahamyam. But here, he is successfully using the word, I promise, you are here to be, for your benefit, I am speaking these things. And, Mandana Bhavamad Bhakto. So, Chakravarti Maharaj says, why are these two phrases brought together? In one sense, think of me, become my devotee. So he says, by becoming my devotee, think of me. That means, even the Jnani think of Krishna, but the Jnani think of Krishna as a tool to attain Jnana. Vishkam Karma yogis think of Krishna, yogis think of Krishna. But their goal is not Krishna. Think of me as my devotee. As a man manabha, man bhakto. Don't think of me as a jnani devi, think of me as a devotee. Offer your heart to me. So it is a very beautiful translation here. Man mana, he says, that is also think of me, offer your mind to me. Bhav man bhakto means, offer your heart to me. Madhyayaji means, offer gifts to me. And Mama Namaskuru means offer your body to me. In this way, offer your everything to me. So, Madhyaji means offer gifts means offer possessions. Mama Namaskuru means offer your body. So, our possessions, what is that Bhagavan Thakur? Manasa Deho Geho, Jokichu Momara, Arpilo Tuapade, Nanda Kumar. So, you say, Geho as possessions. That is, Madhyaji, the body is Maam Namaskuru. And the subtle body, that is the mind. And then, innermost of the heart. And they say, offer everything to me. If you do this, Maam Namaskuru will surely come to me. Then, and Krishna speaks this. The resounding call and promise. It's both. It's a call and a promise. It's a call because he is expecting Krishna Arjuna to do something. And if you do this, he is making a promise also. So then, when he hears this, Arjuna gets it up. He says, Krishna, I'm not qualified for this. It's a very exalted level of bhakti. This is kind of pure emotions are very kevala bhakti. I cannot practice it. So Krishna says, today Arjuna, I break my own rule and I make you qualified. Normally one gets kevala bhakti, not through me, but through my devotees. But today I break that rule and I give you kevala bhakti. Just forget everything else and surrender to the wholeheartedly. Do what I am telling you. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami mashucha. Parityajya, pari here is the sense of completely. All, so it's, all religions give up completely. So it's, that is, it took this all religions and give up how? Completely. Parityajya. And then, maam ekam sharanam vraja. How is that charan? As already described in the previous verse. And then, aham tvam sarva papebhyo. So, if you think that I abandon you to any sins, don't worry. I will free you from all those sins. Mokshayishyami mashichha. So, Prabhupada says that in the purport that earlier Krishna had said, when can you become my devotee? Yesham Pantarakam Papam. Sanjaya Pantarakam Krishna said that. But he says, now Krishna's compassion is overflowing. Because compassion is overflowing, he thought, well, if you're not qualified, I make you qualified. I make you qualified. And how do I make you qualified? By freeing you from sinful reactions. Whatever happens, you just stay shelter of me. So, the example, I give an example of this karunya of the Lord. They say that just as a mother, when she's training the child, she trains the child that, you know, whenever you have to respond to nature, you should go to the toilet to respond to nature. And you should not dirty yourself. When the child dirties themselves, and the child comes to mother says, again, you're dirty yourself. You know, don't come near me till you have become clean. And the child says, I don't know how to clean myself. I said, come, I'll clean. So, there is other cleansing. So, that mother says, you clean yourself and then come to me. That is Ishantaratam Antaratam Papa. And the child says, I don't know how to clean. I'm the Antaratam Papa, you go straight. So, this way, Krishna is saying, I will free you from all things. Don't fear at all. Mahashichaha. So, this is the verse in the Gita which comes very close to the compassion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's compassion is at whatever level we are at, he comes to our level and he picks us up. So, this is the similar verse of Nami Partha Yakashitya, Yetisya Mahaprabhu, something similar was there. But here Krishna is even more emphatic. He's saying, not only is he saying, there Krishna promised that yes, he will come to me, he will attain the supreme destination. But he is, they are assuring not only will attend the destination, but I will free you from all sins along the way. So, now in this way, actually the Bhagavad Gita is not just an exterior philosophy. Surely it's an exterior philosophy, but behind the philosophy is a very loving heart. And after that, all that philosophy Krishna's loving heart comes out. And generally, when we speak something which is very dear to us, very confidential to us, to very few people. So immediately Krishna speaks it out. And say, this is not being spoken to everyone. This is not being spoken to everyone. Then he will qualify. Whom are you speaking? Idam te na tapaskaya na haptaya kadachana na cha shushrusha ve vacham chamavyo vakya sugyati. So, not when Krishna is describing all in one tone. Na tapaskaya, na bhaktaya, vityashna, shushrushaya. But last one is?
Tada kunjaya bhagwan.
Kaulitaya bhagwan ki jaya. Last one is natural. So thus, emphatically he says, not to the abhyasuyati, not to the envious people. So now, after giving this qualification, that means if somebody is envious, please don't speak this knowledge to him. Why? It is not that Krishna doesn't want to reveal his heart, but that if Krishna speaks in glory and reveals his love, what is going to happen is those people envy and refuse all the time. Therefore, Krishna says, don't speak it. But please speak it to those who are devotionally minded. Those who are devotionally minded, please speak it so that they will become attracted. And now Krishna gives so Krishna makes this qualifier. Heart is that he wants everybody to come back to him. So now Krishna's compassion says that first he says, those who preach to this one, I said, how glorious they are. Then he says, first he says, I can't preach, it is very complicated. At least study this message. At least hear this message.
So Krishna gives descending levels. And he says, by all this you will attain perfect, you will attain a glorious destination.
So, Krishna throughout the Bhagavad Gita, nowhere else promises pure devotional service to anyone. Many places he promises you will come back to me. But the promise of pure devotional service is only here in the Gita. Nowhere else does he promise that I will grant you. Now, Parambhakti, a similar prefix is used where? 18.65. Brahmaputra Samatana Shushmita Kamsi, Samadharai Shimukti Shimad Bhakti Labhate Param. But by that process you will attain. He is not saying, I will grant it to you. So, he is saying that That means the same destination which the jnani is, by coming to Brahman realization, by seeing all the material equally, by becoming free from all hand criminal limitations, the same destination Krishna thing you will have. And beyond that you will attain the supreme abode. You will return back to Asamishya. There is no doubt about this. And Krishna's love for one share is something so great. His love doesn't stop with that. He's given two great lessons. You get your devotion for this, you will attain me also. But he says, no, this is not enough. Actually, for those who share the message, they're even more dear to him. So he makes one more promise. Yeah. That's a very valid question. Krishna is saying here that why should you speak this? You should speak this to the devotees. So now here, Krishna, we have to understand two points. First is that this is Krishna speaking his heart. You know, generally speaking, even if you look at the Bible or the Quran, there are very few places where God is himself directly speaking. The Ten Commandments are what God spoke to Moses, and Moses said, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do this. These were his instructions. But where God speaks his heart, that sort of statements are very, very rare. And, you know, actually, there's no world scripture where God's voice comes out as personally, directly, lovingly and insistently as it comes out in the Bhagavad Gita. The Quran, there is God's voice, but often it's like we. And then it's very instructive, pronouncing moral codes. And actually more than love, with all due respect to the Quran, with more than love for the followers, the Quran is filled with anger for the non-followers. How those who don't follow a birth in hell, that anger is much more visible. And that is the reason for that. Because that religion is more at the level of fear. You know this, fear, desire, duty, love. So Krishna is speaking his heart over here. And this really has spoken his heart, it is something which is objective. You know, it is not something which we are saying because we are Krishna devotees. But even in the Vedic literature, you know, there is no other book in the bona fide Vedic literature where in a full book length any other person is claiming to be God and speaking about him. Now, some worshippers like Hare Krishna glorify Brahma as God. Some worshipper of Shiva may glorify Shiva as God. But Shiva himself, throughout the full book, repeatedly claims himself to be God is nowhere there. So the voice of God, as personally, as lovingly, as directly and as insistently, as it comes in the Bhagavad Gita, it doesn't come anywhere. So this is, as Krishna is the most confidential knowledge. So many times, people who hear this, if they are devotionally minded, they don't have to be devotees. They are devotionally minded. Devotionally-minded means they have some inclination towards God. They want to know about God, and they come to know about loving God, they want to surrender. But there are people who are outright demonic. So such people, if they hear, simply their Indian influence. So here the word devotee is used in not a restrictive sense of a practicing devotee, but it is in a generic sense of a potential devotee because he has a devotional mind. And we also see that if somebody is very envious, somebody is very inimical, then the Madhyamadhika is so inhibited. So that's the same thing over here. So it's not that we have to speak only to devotees, but the idea is that those who are devotionally minded. Krishna wants the welfare of those who are non-devotees also, those who are individually minded also. But the best welfare we can have is for them at this stage is to not increase their energy. I'm talking about Krishna. So here Krishna gives one more promise. He says,
नचितस्मानमनुष्येषु कश्चिन्ने प्रियकृत्तमः भविता न च मे तस्मान्नन्यः प्रियतरो भुवि.
सो there's no one more dear to me, and not in the future will anyone be more dear to me. So one who shares my message like this. And we hear this, you can think about how dear Prabhupada must be to Krishna. And how he went all over the world at a very old age, with no help, with no assistance, no contact, no money practically. And he preached all over the world. He went to Prabhupada went to America. Actually, when he reached there, it was very symbolic. the matchless gift shop which he got. Opposite to that, or on one side, a bar, and on the other side, a crematory. So, it is actually indicative. The nature of the material existence, which Prabhupada was condemning in his class. People try to drink and enjoy, and they end up in the crematorium and die.
So, that is what material life is all about. And Prabhupada came to try to raise the above this material life. And actually,
yes, Prabhupada wanted to give a matchless gift. So this is Prabhupada's compassion. And when we contemplate how, you know, there have been no doubt many great acharyas, many great scholars, many great teachers also. But objectively speaking, the way Prabhupada was empowered by Krishna, the way Prabhupada had just really spread Krishna all over the world, there is practically no parallel in world history. Now there is one Christian scholar, and the scholar of interreligious studies, Professor Susan Juga. So he writes the story of Bhaktivedanta Swami. It is a story which proves the truth that facts are sometimes stranger than say fantasies. Because here is an old man who comes along and to people who are utter strangers, and he tells them to give up everything and follow me. And they give up everything and start following him. He says, where in the history of the world do we have any parallel to this? He says, maybe we have a parallel in Jesus. But there are significant differences. Jesus was a young man, not an old man. And Jesus was preaching in his own community. People who knew him. And he was teaching a message that was more or less familiar, although newly presented. Bhaktivedanta Swami came to people who never saw him and who did not know him. And he gave a message that was utterly alien to them, in one sense. But it was not alien because of the soul, the message of Krishna is very dynamic. So Prabhupada's message acted at the level of the soul. Because the preaching ultimately happens when the preacher is very eager to share Krishna's message, and Krishna is the super soul in the heart of the preacher and the heart of the priest. He creates that after. And by that the preaching takes place. So that is Prabhupada's glory. Prabhupada gave Krishna, shared Krishna's heart with the whole world. And now Krishna says, you know, there's no one more here to be like this. And somebody will say, oh, I can't preach. Then he says, okay, no more. Adeshyate chaya imam dharmyam samvadam avayo jnana yajnena tenaham ishtavyaviti memati.
Jnana, he's doing jnana, yajna. Just like when we do RC, we worship incense and flowers. He's saying you are worshipping with your intelligence. And the fourth chapter, Krishna has said, jnana yajna is far superior to dravya. And far, far superior to dravya. In fact, sarva karma kilam partha jnane parisamapriti. Purpose of all karma is ultimately to come to jnana. Krishna is telling over here that this is a very glorious yajna. So if you study with the position of mind, then you are really jnana yajna. Now of course, somebody will say there are so many scholars who are commentable in the Gita, and they are also studying the Gita. Where they are they not doing jnana yajna, why does Prabhupada condemn them? Because they do not qualify for abhyasu yajna. They are not non-atheists. If somebody is a devotional, they study the Gita, then he is worshipping Krishna with intelligence. And then somebody says, oh no, I cannot study also. Then at least you are Krishna. Shraddhavananatu yascha shunyadapi yonara sobhi ukta shvalokan punyapunya karana.
So, what is the shvalokan? Acharya described that Krishna has already described that Swarga is not Shubha. Because, Tetam Bhukta Sarga Lokam, Pushine Punya Madhi Lokam, which is incompatible. And Shubha Loka refers to Dhruva Loka. That Dhruva is personally staying as a pure devotee, and along with him, Lord Vishnu is staying. So, that is the reference to Punya Karmana. These people will attain. The spiritual world is within the material world. because they are not so pure, they cannot go back to the spiritual world right now. But because they have heard the Bhagavad Gita, so they go to the replica of the spiritual world, the material world, which is Dhruva Loka, that is the pure devotee and the Lord himself. Now, this last fourth verse are like the Phalashruti. Phalashruti is not just of hearing the Gita, but of hearing, reading and sharing the Gita. So after that, generally the Phalashruti, the message ends. So the part of Krishna, there is a specific purpose by receiving all this message. So then, he inquires, is this purpose served? Kachide tachutam partha, kaye kadre nachetasa, kachidasyana sammoha, nishtate dananjaya.
Very personal. So,
Chakravarti Maharaj says, Krishna is so anxious that Arjuna understands clearly and make a clear choice. And earlier he said, okay, you do whatever you want to do. But now, because of his love, he is anxious. Just like sometimes the father says, okay, you do whatever you want to do. But then, father, you know, he wants the child to make the right choice. Then Krishna is anxious. Have you understood clearly? Have you heard with attentive mind? So the mood is, and if you have not heard attentively, I am ready to speak the whole thing again for you. I will speak the whole thing again.
So,
you know, when
so normally, you know, when the Lord is speaking the message, or the devotees are speaking the message, no, actually they are speaking out of concern for the people's well-being.
It's not like a paid teacher who gives a lesson just to do a job. You know, if you go and ask a teacher, nowadays teachers are all professionals. Ask, have you understood? They will never ask first of all. If they ask also, if you are not understood, come to my private tuition. There I listen. But Krishna is concerned, very concerned that Arjuna understands and applies the message. So now, Krishna, Arjuna is overwhelmed by both the intensity of the message and more than that, the intensity of the love of Krishna. You know, it has been a very intense period. He has seen the Vishwarupa,
not so long ago.
But then, now he sees this intense loving mood of Krishna. He has also understood how Krishna is so great. Then he sees. So first thing, now if you remember, what is that sequence? Jayato Vishyam Kodhsa, Sangha Seshubu Jayate, Sangha Seshubu Kama, Kama Kodham Kodha, Bhavati Sammoha, Sammoha Kuti Vibrahma. So Krishna is saying, Nashto Moha, Kuti Vibrahma. So Moha is gone, and memory is recovered. And how has this happened? First Prasada, is by your mercy, O Lord, and you are Achyuta. You never say, anyone who takes shelter of you, he is always successful. So naturally, Siddhosmi, I have become well-situated. And Kana Sandeha. Sandeha, all my doubts have gone, completely gone. Now I know clearly what I should do. What is that I should do? Whatever you tell me. Karishye Vachinam Tava. So now, Krishna's purpose in speaking the Gita is at one level for Arjuna to fight the war. But at another, a deeper level, it is to establish the supremacy of pure emotional service. So, Krishya Vachanam Dava is indicating of that surrender. So, you know, that means this Krishya Vachanam Dava is a response of Arjuna to Krishna's call Sarva Dharma Antaritya. So, from God's side, it is Sarva Dharma Antaritya. from Krishna or Bhagavad Gita. What is Hare saying?
Krishna Vachana.
Whatever you want, Hare Gita. Now, after seeing this, now the camera passes back to Sanjay and Rukras. So Sanjay is going to speak now for the third time in the Gita. First chapter, second was 11th chapter, and now he comes back to the 18th chapter. Now he speaks. Sanjay Vacha Ityaham Vasudevasya Pārthasya Shamahatmanam Kampāda Krimamashtausham Adhutam Prohaharishanam.
And so wonderful is that message that my hair is standing on end.
So in the Bhagavad Gita Sutta also the hair was standing on end. Gandhi Vamsamsati Hastar Rakti, what is that? Romaharsha Sujayati.
Romaharsha
Sujayati. So here also Romaharsha was there, also Romaharsha was there. But there were different Romaharsha. That Romaharsha was because of fear and sorrow. This Romaharsha is because of ecstasy. So the Bhagavad Gita takes us from material emotions, detachment to divine emotions. That is journey. So like we say that from material emotions to equanimity to divine emotions. That is journey that Bhagavad Gita takes us. And actually at one level the Jivatma is sammohita. They are sammohita jiva, the Bhagavad Gita. And from sammohita, one comes to asammohita. Where is asammohita? Amugha. What is that? Nirmana moha samudosha arjyatmityamuttama dhavayamukta surukhasamdhi kachyantya amugha. It is free from illusion. So from sammohita, we become free from illusion. Nirmana moha. It is free from moha. But then, we further have this. What is the Goswami-shtakam? Radha Krishna Gunasthute Madhurimanandena Sammohitao. So our goal is not to just become free from moha. Our goal is to become filled with moha. Filled with moha. But filled with a moha that increases our love for Krishna. So that is indicated over here. That the process of the hearing of Bhagavad Gita is not just to become detached from worldly things. It is to become attached to Krishna. And filled with, who are charged with divine emotions. So he's saying, this is very interesting. Now Vasudeva is Mahatmana, but he is calling Parthasya Mahatmana. Parthasya is also Mahatmana. Why? Because he is saying that what Krishna told about Mahatmana, Mahatmana is Mahatmana Partha, the illumined Prakriti Mahatmana. So what is the characteristic of Mahatmana? He is seeing that demonstrated by Arjuna. He has taken shelter of Krishna. That's why Krishna is the Supreme Soul, so he is Mahatmana. And because Arjuna has taken shelter of the Supreme Soul, he is also Mahatmana. And their conversation I have heard, Ashwagandha. And what is that? Adhutam, it is very rare. And Romaharshanam. And then, he also indicated members. So this is the verse where Prasad comes several times. So after that, now twice it came, Mat Prasada Taishyasi. Then it came twice, 56 and 58. Now, it came again, 72, when Arjuna comes. And the factor of mercy, is repeated in the last chapter, because that is the essence of bhakti. That's the Pratava Gaurava. He remembers immediately his spiritual master. That is the nature of a devotee, that if a devotee, even if he is able to do some wonderful service, because he immediately remembers and thanks his spiritual master for that. He says, that it is by my spiritual master's mercy that I am able to do this. So he says, Vyasa Pratava Shutva Etat Goyamaham Param Yogam Yogeshwara Krishna Kaksha Kataya Swayam. So, now Yogeshwara, Maha Yogeshwara, Yogeshwara, what was used there? 10th chapter in the Vibhuti Yoga was described, and after that 11th chapter then describing Vishnu. So, Sanjay is going to refer to that Vishwarupa again. So this person is Yogeshwar, a very great person. And he also calls it the same superlatives. Bhuvijam Param. By the mercy of my spiritual master, I have been able to hear. He's not only been able to hear, but he's able to be able to see it. But actually hearing is more important than seeing. Because by hearing he can understand. That's why he's saying, Shutva.
Although you have seen everything, and the special blessing was not just to hear but to see. But still actually you don't understand just by seeing but by hearing. That's why I think Shruta Vaman. And Sakshat. That is directly spoken. Sakshat is using the word because, as I said, God speaking about Himself is very rare. That's why he's using two adjectives to himself. Sakshat and Swayam. Yogam Yogeshwara Krishna Sakshat Patel Kamsa. He has himself spoken, he has himself directly spoken. Sakshat. And then he says, yes, he's going to describe the emotions in the next two verses. He gets this. Rajan Samsatya Samsutya Samadhani Madhutam Keshavajinaya Punyam Vishyami Jamuru. So, Prabhupada writes in the purport, a devotee is, Prabhupada writes about his thrill. Can somebody read what is Prabhupada saying? The last sentence, the result of Krishna consciousness is one becomes increasingly enlightened. And he enjoys life with a thrill. Not only for some time, but at every moment. Muhurt means every moment. So, in material life also there are thrills. But those thrills are very, very temporary. And after the thrills, they are followed along by a lot of threats and problems after that. So, is it threats and troubles and tribulations follow those thrills? So, the thrills of spiritual life, they're eternal. Not only eternal, they're eternally increasing. Like Ananda Modi Vardhana. So after describing this, then he says, further he expresses. So first, he is astounded by this conversation. And within this conversation for him, the Vishwarupa which he saw is very astonishing. So he remembers that also. Satya Samsritya Samsritya Rupa Satya Rupam Hare Vishma Yoga Maharajam Vishyami Chamuna Kuna. So, I am struck with wonder, this is mine. So actually now, by remembering the Vishwarupa, the same emotion that Arjuna had experienced of Vishman, Sanjay had also experienced of Vishman, of astonishment. But the Bhagavad Gita, why is it depicted in this way? Now it could be just to add something with Arjuna and Krishna. Why is it between Sanjay and Dhritarashtra also? Because, directly within the 700 verses of the Gita itself, the effect of applying the Gita is shown. What is the essential message of the Gita? To always remember Krishna. And in two verses, four times the word Samsmutya Samsmutya comes. And you say Rajan Samsmutya Samsmutya here, Tachya Samsmutya Samsmutya. And immediately the Samsmutya Samsmutya what is happening? Vishyami. There was Vishyami Chai Murmu here, Vishyami Punapunaha. So the essence of the Bhagavad Gita is remembrance. And that remembrance will bring ecstasy. So how Sanjay is immediately, actually Sanjay is merely a messenger in one sense to give the message to Dhritarashtra. But because he is immediately heard applying, remembering, by remembering, he is seeing different ecstasy. Puna, puna, every moment, again and again, he is seeing things. So, actually the whole process of spiritual life is based on remembrance. The more we can remember, the more we can experience the higher taste. And the more we forget, the more the higher taste goes away. And now, Krishna, now Sanjay will conclude the Bhagavad Gita. This answer to the question, Kim Apurvata? What did he do? He said, he picked up his bow and was ready to fire. And I predict that they are going to win. So in this way, Dhritarashtra's hopes sing with a deep ocean of lamentation. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Toha Sudara Bhaveshwara.
So he's reminding
Dhritarashtra, don't think this is an ordinary person, he is Yogeshwara. And wherever there is Krishna and wherever is Arjuna. Now, the crucial thing is this image is at the end of the first chapter. Visrujya prasaram chapam shokasamvinamanasaha. Arjuna has took his bow and put it aside. I will not fight. Nayotchaiti govinda. But by hearing this message, what has happened? So, there means what is happening in 73rd, second verse. Krishna told Arjuna, Krishya Vachanam Dham. I do whatever you tell me. So then Krishna starts, actually there is some more work remaining. And I have come here to destroy the demons, but some demons are still to be destroyed. And I want you to kill those demons. And immediately Arjuna picks up his bow and raises the fight. So in the time that Sanjay describes these three verses, what has happened? Arjuna has picked up his bow. And his partha dhanurbhairaha. So as we discussed right in the beginning of the Gaurinta, that Arjuna's bow represents the soul's determination to serve Krishna. So, what had happened to Arjuna? Had come with the bow ready to fight. But it started the Bhagavad Gita by Teksha Praman. His determination got melted. He put his bow away. But by Shabda Praman, by hearing from Shabda, his determination was restored. And again, he became ready to fight. So, actually, the same thing happens in our spiritual life also. By Pratyaksha, Maya creates discouragements of many kinds. The first discouragement is, why fight? You know, why fight? Why fight with Maya? There is no need to fight, you peacefully. There is no need to fight all these things. There is no need to take so much trouble. If you peacefully. So, what is the practical benefit of spiritual life? Often we cannot see the protection. By protection, what does Arjuna see? Oh, they are going so much bloodshed, they are going so much death. Why should we do it? So like that, the perfection, what are you going to gain? You spend so much time chanting, you spend so much rules and regulations. What do you gain practically? The perfection, if you rely on the perfection, we don't get any impetus of practicing spiritual life. Sometimes when they get, if you associate with great devotees, about the holy places, looking there. Generally, perfection is something which takes away our determination. And Shabda is what restores our determination. So, the great challenge for sadhaka to practice spiritual life is that he has to serve Krishna, who is invisible, and he has to stay away from Maya, who is ultra-visible. So, it's ultra-visible. Therefore, the only hope is if you can stay away from Pratyaksha and take shelter of Shabda more and more. And he describes the blessings. What will happen? He says, four things I am going to result. Now that Yogeshwar and Parsa, both of them are together, four things are going to happen. Satra, Shri. So Shri means opulence. So you don't tell them, actually, you think you are the king and you have the opulence of the kingdom, it's going to go away. Why? Why is the Shri going to go away? Vijaya. Vijaya? Because they are going to get victory. But how can they get victory? You know, my sons have so much power. No, rupees. They have far greater power because they have the power of Yogeshwara. But how will they win? You know, there are Vishnu can never be fed, Kripa can never be killed, Drona can not be killed, they can't be killed. No, neither material mamma. There is going to be some special needs that will be applied. Immorality, which will appear to be immoral, but it's not immoral. So, that is going to result, that is going to lead to the victory of Arjuna, who is accompanied by Krishna. So, actually, our body, you know, the Bhagavad Gita is a conversation at three levels. At one level, it is a conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. At another level, it is a conversation between Sanjay and Dhritarashtra. And our body is also like a chariot. And we are the, as we know in chariot body analogy, we are the passenger. And who is the chariot here? This the intelligence. But what did Krishna, what did Arjuna do? Arjuna made Krishna his chariot here. So like that, we have to put away our intelligence and make Krishna the chariot here of our body. And after making him the chariot here of our body also, it's not that we all current, Janya, Rugur, Madhya, Sarvam, Tapal, Nachita, do this. No, we have to tell him, Karishye Vachnam Tava. I will do what you say. So, in Prabhupada, the first time he gave initiation, he said, Haigiru Prabhu got initiated that in the whole world, you can Haigiru Prabhu. Prabhupada told him at that time. From now onwards, there is no, you should never lament, because you have handed over the reins of your life chariot to Krishna, and he will eternally take care of you. So we have all, by committing ourselves to Krishna consciousness, made Krishna chariot here. But sometimes we are not very depressed, like Arjuna was depressed. Then this conversation of the Gita is at the deepest level, the conversation between the soul and the super soul. So when we contemplate on the verses of the Gita, then it is not just some historical conversation that took place thousands of years ago, but it is a conversation that will be alive in our hearts. And those verses will resound once again with greater depth, because the super soul will echo them and emphasize them for us. So Prabhupada would often say that, no problem. See, from our philosophical point of view, Bhagavad Gita is a very basic book. We have Bhagavatam and teaching. But Srila Prabhupada was asked one time that if you are on an island all alone and you have no book with you except 21 book, which book will you take? Prabhupada said, I'll take Bhagavad Gita. It's remarkable. He did not say CC, he did not say Bhagavatam, he did not say NOD, he said Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita itself has so much rasa. And the more we approach Bhagavad Gita devotionally, we see that Krishna's love is manifesting through the analysis of philosophy, through the instruction, through the arithmetics. Ultimately, Krishna's love is speaking to all of us. So this is the ultimate message of the scripture, that is God's love call. And that God's love call, if we respond, then He floods our heart with love. And then we will also experience Sri Vijaya Bhuti and Nithi. That is the conclusion. Prabhupada in the Purport says that long Purport years, he talks about five principles of the matter. And then he, for the first time, the whole Bhagavad Gita, in the conclusion, he talks about Chintavira. He talks about the inconceivable oneness and difference. So, Prabhupada's conclusion is very straightforward. By proper use of the independence, he comes under the direct order of Krishna. Thus we attain normal condition in the pleasure being potency. Normal conditions to be happy. But that will happen by the proper use of the people. So now we have some time to do an overview of the Bhagavad Gita once again. So we are already by the mercy of Shri Prabhupada Krishna. Come to the end. We have a 5 minute break. And then, no? Okay. So, let's see how we can do this overview. It's going to be a little difficult. But what you could do is, some slides in this PowerPoint got deleted. So I don't have the overview of all the chapters here. But, I will not go into the technicalities of the overview here. So because the technicalities, if you go into, it will be quite time demanding and also attention demanding. But we'll just trace the direction which Krishna has taken. So, Krishna starts with Bhagavad Gita by describing how, Bhagavad Gita starts by Dhritarashtra's dilemma. And the first chapter is more or less a description of the reports on the battlefield, observing the army, that's the first part. And the second part is? This is the next mix-up. That is not the whole first chapter. That is the mix-up of first and second chapter. So first chapter basically has two parts. Observing the army, Sanjana Nikshayo, and Arjuna Shayo, Arjuna land attack. And then there are the four questions, four doubts which Arjuna asks. So what are the four reasons? Compassion, enjoyment, destruction of family tradition, fear of sinful reaction and indecision. So then, we will just quickly say where all these are refuted. All these are arguments answered.
What is happening here?
Okay, chapter 2 is not here. So chapter 2, initially Arjuna tries to encourage, Krishna tries to encourage Arjuna by saying, come on, don't be overcome by such weakness. That is clay, that's important. You play the role of a human, have you become a real human now? You don't want to fight. He tries to goad Arjuna like that. But Arjuna says, I am poverty, I am beautiful, how can I fight with my idols? And then Krishna goes into philosophical discussion after Arjuna surrenders and becomes his disciple. So actually, when Arjuna becomes his disciple, Krishna officially takes the role of a spiritual master in 4.3. When he says, एवायम मया तेन्द्र योग प्रोक्त पुरातन भक्तो से अकाशित रहस्य मेरे उत्तम दैट आई विल गिव दिस नॉलेज सो आई एम मेकिंग यू फ्रेश स्टार्ट ऑफ दिस परंपरा सो ही टेक्स द रोल ऑफ दैट बाय डायरेक्ट स्पीच बट ही स्टार्ट्स टू बी फॉर दैट सो फ्रॉम द 11th वर्स टू 30th वर्स इज सांख्य यू आर नॉट द बॉडी सो दैट इज बेसिकली स्पीच ऑफ कंसोलेशन The soul is important, therefore do not lament. And that's why we discussed the four verses where continuous the chorus comes, Nastvam Shoshitam Arati, Nainam Shoshitam Arati, Nastvam Shoshitam Arati. So, we should not lament because the soul is eternal. So, like the beginning, where he gives the basic reason. But the most is, okay, the soul is eternal. And the question comes up, then soul is eternal, soul is not affected by anything material. Their souls will not be affected by anything material. They are pure, their souls will not be affected. But if I don't fight, my soul will not be affected. So my soul will be affected. What is the reason to fight? Then Krishna says, no, Yadu, the soul has to be purified by proper performance of nature. And that's why 31 to 38 describes Vishwamitra is the karma kanda. So the first level of spiritual knowledge after understanding the soul is that we want to enjoy materiality, but you can enjoy the next life by going to heaven also. When Krishna Padma is the right, and he says from 39 verse onwards to 53 verse, give up this karma kama, because it will keep you in cycle of birth and death. And he glorifies karma yoga. And he compares karma kama to the flowers, which are temporary blossoming, but eventually they fade away. Whereas karma yoga or any transcendental path, it is eternal, neha vikrama nashyasya. And then Krishna describes whole in very abstract terms about this. He says that you go beyond samadhi, yoga is the art of all work. When you attain samadhi, then whatever you hear will not disturb you. So Arjuna in the background is thinking, okay, this person will attain samadhi, will attain yoga. Does he fight the world or does he not fight the world? But Krishna is born into philosophy, but Arjuna is still at the ground level. He said, do I not fight? And therefore, I will clarify that, yeah, please tell me the symptoms. Of a person who is self-realizing, sitta-prajna. So he asks four questions. Ka bhasha, kim prabhasheta, kim asti. So in the next one was 55. Before that, 55 is the answer. Ka bhasha, 53-77. Kim prabhasheta, 58-63. Kim asti, 64-72. Kim prajeta, how does he work? So, and after he describes this, then that section ends with So, first part is just karma yoga. Karma yoga is better than jnana yoga. So, Krishna says that yes, I have only two parts, karma yoga and jnana yoga. But, if you are not qualified for karma yoga, you will become hypocrite. If you are not qualified for jnana yoga, you will be hypocrite. So, therefore, practice karma yoga. And after he says that, and Arjuna says, we have all required detachment. I don't have the detachment. He says, then you do karma kaan, but with the knowledge of the higher principle of practical that governs the world. But there's somebody says, no, I'm not only qualified for karma yoga, I'm qualified for jnana yoga. You think I'm not qualified, but I'm qualified. He says, okay, when you're still qualified, still you fight. Why you fight? Because fight is, you will set an example for others. So, now we don't have the time to go into detail, but Krishna answered Arjuna's four arguments. The compassion argument that answered is 2.11-13. The soul is not going to die. So what is the meaning of your compassion? The enjoyment argument is answered from 2.31-38. When it says, you win, you get earth, you lose, and die, you get heaven. You both will be in heaven. Then the fear of sinful reaction, Krishna answers to karma yoga by saying that you will not be bound. Then that is from 2.3953. And then the last argument of destruction from liberation, he answers in this section. 3.3924, he says, if you don't do your duty, then everybody will do their duty, and that will cause burden. Because everybody will abandon, they will become like cowards. So then, still because Arjuna will be confused, how can I do a duty and not be bound by karma? When Krishna analyzes the difference between karma yoga and karma bhakti, by talking about two things, that karma yogi has saktaha karmanjana jvamsa yathā purvanti bhārata kuryār vidvān tathā tattat chikīrṣa lokanika. So karma kāndi saktaha and avidvān. So karma yogi asaktaha and vidvān, he is knowledgeable and detached. And then Arjuna asks, ah, this sounds very good, but actually when we try to practice karma yoga, you know, to be nishkam is very difficult because kaam takes us over. So then, where does this kaam come from? Then, as Krishna answers by telling not only where the kaam comes from, but he answers how to overcome it also. By situating oneself on the spiritual platform to do this. And then Krishna goes to the next chapter. And it's the first time where the focus comes on Krishna himself directly. So here what has happened? Krishna said, by buddhi you can go beyond the kaam. But the jnana which will lead to that buddhi, Krishna said, is not that I am giving to you alone. I have been giving this since time immemorial. Because kaam is nitya bhavena, eternal enemy. So as soon as the creation is there, I start giving this knowledge. And 4.1 to around 10. So anyway. Yeah. 4.1 to 15 is the only section in the first 6 chapters where Krishna Supreme Position is talked about explicitly. And Krishna is talking about Supreme Position not because he's the focus on him, but the focus is on how he can give knowledge during the sun god. That's how that starts. So Krishna teaches an establishing dharma, and then he's the supposed creator of all parts. And after that, Krishna continues the teaching of Nishkam Karma Yoga, which he had left off at 3.35. And then he talks about Karma Yoga as a dharma that he has come to teach. And then, the Karma Yoga, why is the Karma Yoga not bound? Because he has jnana. So where will that jnana come from? There are many ways to bring that jnana. Krishna talks about all these ways and he concludes by saying, you should go to spiritual master and get that knowledge. And that is saying, you already come to spiritual master, you come to me, so now you will get that knowledge. And in this chapter, only one place in 4.235, Krishna will talk about the supreme position by saying, all the living entities belong to me. So the drops of bhakti yoga that I dropped in the first 6 chapters are 2.61 is mattaraha, 3.30 is mahi sarvani karmani, then the 4.35 is evam yasiti panta yena bhutaneshram dakshasti atmanya ho mahi. Mahi, you will understand all the things belong to me. Then he says the glory of Divya Jnana. This Jnana is not impersonal Jnana. This Jnana is which comes by the message that Krishna comes and gives. This is the Jnana which means detachment from this material world. And then, chapter 5, Arjuna asks a similar question because Krishna is contradictory instruction for your body. So now here Krishna is going deeper. What does he do? Earlier he had said Jnana Yuga, earlier Krishna's tone of saying was that Jnana Yuga is better. But you are not qualified. But now he says, actually Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga are equal. Whatever food you get by Karma Yoga, by Jnana Yoga you also get by Karma Yoga. But it is equal. And then, he tells the fellow the internal consciousness of a Jnana Yogi. And then, so what is happening here? I think a lot of things got deleted. Sorry about that. So, let's keep this. Just leave it. Then in the 5th chapter he describes the internal consciousness of Karma Yoga, and then he goes into the etiology. So who is the actual doer? And so here for the first time Krishna raises the Paramatma in the 5th chapter from 5.18 onwards. So 5.12-17 he describes how Karma Yoga will lead to freedom from bondage. But freedom from bondage is not the same as liberation. And from 5.18 to 29 it describes how Karma Yoga will lead to liberation. And focus. By Atma Jnana, one can save oneself from Karma Bandhana. But by Paramatma Jnana, one attains Mukti. And then, after that he goes to the 6th chapter to Manishwara. Karma Yogi has to detach himself and start practicing as exclusive renunciation. That is the Aravichya stage of the Dhyana of the Dhyana Yogi. And then he describes from the practice to perfection. And very beautifully, Krishna starts from sadhan, and goes to simple. So up, down, he does right. Each time he takes things deeper. First of the Brahman realization, then Paramatma realization, then Bhagavan realization. And after that, he talks about dealing with the mind. And this whole section, you see Krishna in a very fatherly, reassuring mood. Asamvishayam Mahabaho. No doubt, don't worry, the mind is very full of it. And he asks, what about a fall rate? Yogi falls away? Oh, one who takes to auspicious work, he never admits to destruction. Parthani, Vedanamukta, Vinamashaputta. And then we discuss about the destination of the fallen yogi. And finally, the topmost yogi is a devotee. So here, the karma section ends. So by the slow process of sakam karma, karma yoga, either jnana yoga or the nishkama yoga, and then samadhi, one can realize Krishna. Krishna says, Arjuna, you don't have to do that. I will tell you the alternative way. So, the 7th chapter starts. The 7th chapter starts. Where Krishna, the 7th and 9th chapters are similar. Krishna now starts speaking about his glory. So that by knowing his glory, one can fix the mind on him very easily. So then he starts speaking about how he is the source of everything, the essence of everything, and how different people surrender to him, don't surrender to him, and surrender to something other than him. And at that time, Krishna drops some mysterious sounding terms for the purpose of further consolidating Arjuna's understanding of his supreme position. And immediately, Krishna takes those terms, Arjuna takes those terms and answers questions. So Krishna answers those questions and then, for the first time in the Gita, we have the importance of remembrance at the time of death. So basically, by the end of the 6 chapters, what has Krishna done? If you have to remember, what is Krishna's objective in the world? His objective is not just in the Kalpana fight. His objective is to establish the supreme position of Bhagavan as Sadhya and the supreme position of Bhakti as Sadhana. So by the end of this chapter, what he has done? He has shown how Jnana Yoga is not a relevant sadhana. He puts it aside. Because Karma Yoga is easier and Karma Yoga gets the same fruits. So he puts Jnana Yoga aside. And then by the end of this chapter, he puts Ashtanga Yoga aside. So whatever result you get by Ashtanga Yoga, you will get by some other means also. And then, after describing his supreme position and hinting at Kevala Bhakti, in 8 chapters, you will fully put Ashtanga Yoga aside. Because you have to remember by the time of death, one way to do it is Ashtanga Yoga, another is by Kevala Bhakti. And then he says, it's much easier by Kevala Bhakti than the Ashtanga Yoga. And then the 8th chapter ends by glorification of the Kevala Bhakti. And the 9th chapter starts with further glorification of this is the Kaiyoga ladder, very intricate. So it starts by further glorification of Krishna's supreme position so that it can engender bhakti. Now 7th and 9th chapters are similar, but in 9th chapter, Krishna talks about his own heart. So he talks about Aranyashindayam Toma and he says, Ye Bhajadhuttamam Bhaktya, Apichi Sudhurajava. So the same topics are talked about, but again Krishna takes them deeper and deeper. And at the end of the 9th chapter, Krishna gives the essence of the essence of the essence. Remember that? The Kavya Padit Bhavaika is the essence of all scriptures. The Bhavaika middle 6th chapter are the essence of that essence. The 9th 10th chapter are the essence of that middle essence. And among the 9th chapter, 9.34 is the essence. And then, after that, Krishna again repeats the same thing started in the 7th chapter. He talks about his own Aishwarya. So then, Krishna will develop love for Arjuna's love for him increase. And then comes the famous Chaturshloki, and after which Arjuna asks Krishna, please, so now at the end of the 10th chapter, there is no more illusion in Arjuna's mind. And Arjuna asks question for Lokahita Uttam Rupa, for the benefit of others. So first he asks, how can people in the materialistic consciousness think of the true material phenomena? That is the Bhuti Yoga. Then in the 11th chapter he asks, okay, how can you show me a form of Vishnu? So Krishna shows that form. And you see Arjuna's mood changes completely from joy to horror, fear, first of all. And then again, he describes affection. And then, in order to further establish the supremacy of bhakti, Arjuna after expressing question in the 12th chapter. And he says that was in person form or impersonal form. And Krishna not only answers that, I think person form is better, and impersonal form is difficult. But then he says, if you cannot practice my bhakti at para level, I mean kevala, at least practice bhakti at some level. And then he describes the qualities of a devotee. So now Arjuna continues Krishna's program of establishing the supremacy of bhakti by talking about jnana, about the concepts within jnana. Yata, Purusha, Prakriti. This was a very intricate chapter. And then Krishna answers all that in a very philosophical way, talking about jnana and at the same time talking about bhakti in the same breath. So I won't go into this over here. So very intricate. Then you went to chapter 40. So 13.22 is the beej for all the remaining six chapters of the Yana section. So there is Sangha. Mumte Pratikani Karam Guna Sangha Se Guna Sangha. So then in the 40th chapter Krishna says what is the Guna? And then how the Guna Sangha binds? That is the 15th chapter we are talking about how the upside down tree is there and how Asanga is able to get out. And after getting out one can attain the eternal abode where Krishna is supreme. So that is the 15th chapter. And the 15th chapter, so after this very sort of jnani type, so although the 13-20 chapters sort of the jnana chapter, but within the heart of the jnana section, Krishna brings Purushottam Yoga, where he establishes the supremacy of his personality. That is what is called Pishtoki Gita by Chakravarti Pal. And then we saw a beautiful verse, Yoma Meva Sammudho. One who knows me, he becomes Sarvavit. He knows everything. There is nowhere else in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna uses the word Sarvavit for any other knowledge. So only when you know me, you know everything. And after that, Krishna describes to Arjuna, as the tree is there, so what are the topmost and lowermost part of the tree? That is the divine and demoniac natures. That is quite sobering. We discuss the activities and the consequences, causes and the choices. And after that, he discusses the intermediate part. That is the people who have faith but not in scripture. And then comes the 18th chapter where Arjuna basically asks the question what Yaga and Sanyasa, and Krishna goes to the full overview once again. He introduces deeper concepts but the same line of thought. Because of Karma Yoga is the Yana of the Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga has three modes, how they control and how the Nishkam Karma Yoga goes beyond them to Yana Yoga, to Brahma, and ultimately to Bhagwan. The last section of Bhakti Yoga is that Krishna brings his heart out and promises Arjuna, and he just surrender to me, I will protect you forever. You don't have to fear at all. So it is a towards the end, this whole Krishna narrative becomes very intense. And actually the same thing is described over here. That you know how Krishna becomes very intense and emotional. So because the battle is about to start, there is not much time for Arjuna to express his emotions. And then he says, I am ready to fight. And the emotions of Uddha of Sanjay are expressed in two words, a few words. But actually the Uddha Gita, when Krishna speaks his speaking, Uddha Gita is very similar to the Bhagavad Gita. And then actually Krishna after three years message and then Arjuna completes the whole thing. Sorry, not Arjuna. Uddha replies, I am very grateful for your message. And he concludes the whole thing with a very beautiful prayer. So we will conclude our Bhagavad Gita course with that prayer which Uddha offers, which is very, very meaningful at the same time, very devotionally sweet. So we will take a minute for me to find that prayer. He is telling Arjuna, he is telling Uddhava Krishna that, oh Yogeshwar, so he says Mahayogi, or obeisances to your greatest authority. Namostute Mahayogi, Prapanyam, I surrender to you. That was the message of Bhagavad Gita, surrender. So he says, I surrender to you. What is your Amisha? Amisha means kindly instruct me. What kind of instruction do I want? I don't want instruction when I go to Swarga or I will moksha. Yatha, Pachcharanam Bhoje. You notice what will happen? Rati is my love. syat anupayini. Anupayini, it will become fixed, undeviating. Let's go and conclude our Bhagavad Gita course with this prayer. Namo sute mahayogi.
Namo sute mahayogi.
Prapannam anushadhima.
Prapannam anushadhima.
Yatha svacharanam bhoje.
Yatha svacharanam bhoje.
Pratisyadana payini.
Pratisyadana payini.
Vishnu Bhagavan ki
jai.
Shri Bhagavad Gita ki
jai.
Thank you very much for your kind attention, enthusiastic participation and patient tolerance. Thank you.